This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece here. It's noon. Welcome to the show. Got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors. Special intro just for Mike Bacsik and Alec Medford. I think only four people in the world will, maybe, no, five people in the world will appreciate why that intro took place. And
right before Kevin came on air, Mike said exactly what Kevin said.
You like doing that? If you're a listener, don't you like, you know what Kevin's going to say, and it's just fun to say it right before he says
sure.
It. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. I just added KNC Masterpiece. It's noon.
Just like when we do commercials, Mike, like he acts like a listener, and yeah. He's like, hold on, tell me more about this deal.
I need to know more about this Game Time app.
All right, let me ask you a question, because I just pitched this out to Carter and Alec. What would you think about rejected fan commercials? Where we take like RJ going, spell it backwards and forwards. It's the same QC kinetics.
You're like, that's not.
And you're
close.
Like, no, that is inaccurate. And then Carter suggested, and then we could compare the finished product with an actual mic ad that went out live over the air. And
aviators, crisp white t-shirt.
Yeah, I
get a razor. Isn't that what I said? Something like that.
Something like that.
Get a razor.
It's for Gillette. Something.
You don't even remember what
it
was.
It was a long time
for.
Ago. Guess what? People don't stick with me with commercials for a long
the
time.
The best a man can get.
I sell too much. The problem is they're like, listen, there's a...
We're shortage now.
There's
we don't
a chain.
Have any more
what is it called? The
supply chain.
Supply chain. I ruin the supply chain by selling too much. So if you want me to sponsor you because you have too much stuff, I'll get rid of it. You just have to tell me to say stuff, and then people just buy it. Okay. It's amazing.
Now, with that in mind,
cut that part and then send it to all. That's yeah, what we should give sales. To sales.
That's your next sales meeting.
Cut hey, that and
you
send
have too
it
much
to people.
Stuff, I'll sell it. Let's go to cut number six. You're not going to like it, but we need it for the purposes of this segment.
Alvarez hits one high to right field. Pretty well struck. Back to the wall and gone. This guy is on a different planet right now. Yordan Alvarez with his fourth home run of the series, his second off over, and it's 7-1. My goodness.
Why are you playing Astros highlights? They lost in the ALCS. Yeah.
Wait, against the Twins?
Yeah, dude.
Ober's on the Twins.
Yeah, it's true. That was from the ALDS. All right, so would you... Fine!
Jeez, dude. Wow.
Fine.
Like you don't even respect the team that
would
you
prefer
grew up watching.
Quietly likes the Astros.
That owns the
Shut
Silver
your
Boots
mouth,
series.
I do not. Would you prefer cut number five?
Me?
First offering to Seager is hit high and deep out into left center. Dubon ranging back to the track. He leaps. It's gone. Into the Houston bullpen. Corey Seager clubs his second home run of the postseason to tie things up at three.
Now, the reason why I wanted to go over this is MLB.com a few days ago, they put together their top 10 lineups going into the season. Fair to say we all feel as though the Rangers and Astros both have two of the top 10 lineups in the
For baseball. Sure. I think the top four, you put them in order, Dodgers, Braves, Astros, Rangers. I think those are the four best lineups in baseball.
That is actually exactly how MLB.com put it.
That's how I put it too.
Dodgers, there's no
I wasn't
way.
Trying to put
you
them
put
in
the
order.
Put the Astros ahead of the Rangers?
Actually, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that order.
Okay.
I said the two National Mike. League teams and the two American League teams.
I was like, there's no way.
He was doing them alphabetically.
That would wouldn't have been the Astros be first?
Unless we're going by the last name.
Guys, focus on where
then
we're
it
going
would be
here, all right?
Now, Dodgers? The Rangers first because they are in
Stop
Arlington.
Stop it!
A for Arlington.
Stop it! Dodgers, one. Braves, two. Astros, three. This Carter gave me a note in the break. Get it together. Rangers 4. So my question became, we all accept that these are two elite-looking lineups.
Yes.
And I went down what MLB.com had projected as the lineup. But for example, like in this lineup, it goes Semien, Seager, Langford, Garcia, Carter. So things could change. But I just kind of wanted to go either line for line or team for team between the Astros and the Rangers and get a sense for who really does have the best line.
Well, I'll tell you that I will add this to the conversation, though. Astros admitted last year during the ALCS that they can't hit in their home stadium because they don't like the way the green or the batter's eye set up. Mauricio Dubon, who was just in that highlight, told A-Rod and Jeter that on TBS. I was watching. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, we have a problem hitting here because the batter's eye doesn't work for us right now. And I was like, well, how do other people hit there? And I don't know. I have no clue like what the difference is. But so, Kevin, if we're saying at their stadium, then no, the Astros don't have a better lineup.
Okay.
Are you going to break them down by like a third, like 1 through 3, 4 yes. through 6, yes. 7 through 9?
And for the purposes of this, I'm going to go off the MLB lineups. If you think we should tweak it along the way, we definitely can. 1 through 3, Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman.
I mean, to be honest, that's awesome.
Versus Semien, Seager, and Langford.
The only reason that I will edge Houston there is because we haven't seen Wyatt Langford do anything yet. You. That's the only reason.
If you were to put Carter there, would you feel any different? See, that's where I'm like,
Carter has 102 major league at bats, including playoffs. Like, it's... I'm not. Yeah. This isn't a big edge.
I still give the Astros the edge there.
It's very close. Does Yordan Alvarez usually bat second? I guess you're going off of this. Didn't he bat fourth last year?
Yeah. And so you might see some tweaks. Because I will say this: here they have Kyle Tucker going forward.
Yeah. In a weird way, if I put Tucker there, it makes them weaker. Because Alvarez is their best.
But then I think now you're going to see an advantage. Well, though, yeah. I really want to see where you guys all go. Right. 4 through 6: Tucker, Abreu, Diaz. For the Astros.
The new catcher. I mean, he's not super new, but he'll be catching.
Who's a good hitter.
Yeah.
For the Rangers, Adolis, Evan Carter, and Josh Young.
I'll take it first.
So this is where I take ours, because Abreu, maybe he just had a down year, but he's at the age that it might be close to over.
Yep.
That's the thing that you don't know about Abreu and what he did last year. Is that who he is now because of age? Or did he just have a down year going to a new team and can kind of pop back, maybe not to MVP form, but to a better hitter? But because of that, I will take the Rangers slightly over the Astros. It's very close. This is not a blowout.
Just like I thought 1 through 3 was close. Corey, you seemed more emphatic there in terms of taking 4 through 6 for the Rangers.
It's interesting, Mike, because he did have 15 home runs and 18 home runs in consecutive seasons. Abreu that did.
Oh, so his last 2 years have been down about there. The same?
And his batting average, he hit .304 the year before, but he hit .237 last year. So that is different. Yeah, I take this group. Diaz is going to be growing into that spot. I think Evan Carter's still growing into that spot too. But
yes.
I'll take Adolis over Tucker any day.
All right. 7 through 9. Chaz McCormick, Jeremy Pena, and Jake Myers for the Astros versus Lowe, Heim, and Tavares.
That's really close. The thing is I will give the edge to the Rangers being a little bit homerish, but here's why. Marcus Semien had 100 RBIs last year. It's rare in the history of baseball. Now, in a weird way, it happened 3 times last year. Who are the other best offenses? The Dodgers and the Braves. They also had leadoff hitters who got 100 RBIs or more last year in Mookie Betts and Ronald Acuna Jr. So the only way that's possible for a leadoff guy to have 100 RBIs is the opportunity to knock guys in because 7, 8, and 9 are getting on base. So because of the stat of Marcus Semien's 100 RBIs last year, I will lean towards the Rangers, and I get it for their leadoff hitter, Altuve. He was hurt half of last season, so he didn't have the opportunity. But I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think Altuve's ever had a 100 RBI season as a leadoff hitter. Maybe I'm forgetting that he did, but I know it's a very rare
Springer
stat.
Was their leadoff hitter for a while,
there
right?
There you go, yeah, who's with Toronto now, yeah. So I'm going to give the edge to the Rangers based off of the RBIs from the leadoff hitter.
Too.
Yeah, I will too. This is a razor-thin edge for both of them, but it is definitely, in my opinion, favorable for the Rangers.
So you guys agreed, and this is
what am I believing too much in Heim and Lowe here, though?
I don't think so, because you didn't say it's a walk away. Like, yeah. This is laughable. Yeah. It's not even close. But you guys both went Astros 1-3, and then Rangers 4-9. So how does that balance out? Because obviously 1-3 will, just by logic, get more at bats than the rest. How does that stack up as a whole? Because just because 4-6 and 7-9 won for the Rangers, that doesn't automatically make them the winner.
I don't want to see their first three hitters. You're doing your best to hope, and fingers crossed you get through that. And like you said, you get through it with no runners on from 7-9, because their first three hitters are terrifying.
I'll tell you what, a pitcher wants to go through hell. Have your two series combined, because this will happen. You'll never play the Dodgers and Braves back to back. That trip just doesn't happen. But you're going to play a lot of teams that are going to come through Arlington and Houston as one of their road trips. And if you are starting game one of that series, let's just say against the Rangers, and then starting game six in that road trip, game three against the Astros, you are facing the best American League lineups back-to-back starts. So that it's very tough. It's very close. I don't know how you don't lean the Rangers, because I don't know. I forget, Kevin. They played a series last year to go to the World Series, and I think the Rangers won. And like I said last night, I think Garcia had 42 RBIs in that series.
I know the numbers won't say that, but that is also what I think happened in that series.
I will add this, though. I am definitely with the second part of the lineup, the 4-6 guys.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking, in my mind, I'm looking at Kyle Tucker playoff, which was poor.
Yeah, he just was slumped.
He's a good player, but he was miserable in the playoffs. And I think that's where I'm also kind of forgetting that. That's the recency bias is kind of taking place, because he's a better hitter than he was that entire
for
series.
For sure. He's an all-star player, very consistent throughout his career. It just was lucky enough, he just went into a horrible slump. Now, in a way, Marcus Semien wasn't slumping as much, but throughout the playoffs, Marcus Semien was slumping quite a bit throughout that. So
I'd still take Adolis over Tucker, and he's the best out of those three in that matchup.
I'm trying to click on this. Dubon, who is their backup infielder, versus Ezekiel Duran. I know this isn't fair, but Ezekiel Duran is going to be in the lineup quite a bit here and there, and then so is Dubon for them. He is a 278 guy, 10 home runs, 46 RBIs, a really good backup player. But the Rangers have one too.
Yes,
so it's like,
do.
This is how close it is between these two teams. Is I go, well, we got Ezekiel Duran coming off the bench to help out, and they're like, well, we got Dubon, who's a really solid player too.
Who did they replace Michael Brantley with? Is it Myers here?
That could hurt them, even though Brantley was so injured last year. Right. He just didn't play a whole bunch.
Myers played quite a bit last year.
I'm trying to figure out like who has taken his spot then.
But he played a lot.
In that mix. Because wasn't there also a Gurriel in there in the outfield as well? So like, or am I just thinking of
They have, right now I'm looking at their depth. They have, I'm sorry if I'm saying his last name right, Jules. Corey, J-U-L-K-S.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. I need to click on him. He's from Friendswood, Texas. Last year, 245, 6 home runs, 33 RBI, 650 OPS. So that's not impressive, just to be honest. I mean, I would say Jankowski has better numbers than that without looking up Jankowski's numbers right now.
In the 817, though, they're right. It stacks up in a 7-game series that could go either way. The lineups are tough.
Just so happens that in their last 7-game series,
it went our way.
It went the way of the defending world champion Texas Rangers.
Because the Astros couldn't hit Jordan Montgomery. So
we didn't have White.
Are you saying we're bringing him back after this segment? You're saying the Rangers are listening to us? And
well, hell, we better fire off the breaking news sounder if that's the case.
50 minutes here before first pitch against their last spring training slash exhibition game.
I like our lineups.
They're announcing that Jordan Montgomery is coming back. Is that what you're saying, Corey?
Is that what you're saying?
Are you telling me?
I'm not telling you.
Damn it.
I'm not telling you.
This would be the one time I would be totally fine with that. If you're like, what if I was telling you Jordan Montgomery?
But that, like, if we're going to have that conversation... This year, we have a little bit of a different situation heading into with our pitching staff.
Very true. Very true. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, Mavs win. And what I want to note, just kicked off the five-game road trip. What do you think they'll finish the road trip with? What will their record be? Let's talk about that and the win next on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He's 2-for-9 now tonight.
Takes a lot of bad shots.
Cross-court pass. Luka finds Kyrie. The Kyrie 3 is good for the corner.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3, the Fan, some Luka magic right there. We got Mike Likes It coming up in about 20 minutes. But don't forget, tomorrow, we're going to be at Rally House in Mansfield. We'll be doing ticket giveaways at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. for 4-pack of Rangers tickets to play the Astros. Don't forget, I know I said that twice, Sean RJ, 7 a.m., G-Bag Nation, in the 4 p.m. hour, they will be doing similar giveaways. So four different chances to win a 4-pack of Rangers-Astros tickets tomorrow right here on The Fan, and we'll be in Mansfield at Rally House.
I wonder if they have the gold trim jerseys.
Ooh.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I know tonight? They have them at the stadium.
Oh.
No, I'm saying at Rally House tomorrow. Like, if you came and saw us, could you get the World Series opening day jersey?
Well, good, I know, question. That Alec is wearing his good gold trim question. Hat right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get that from?
I went to the exhibition game last night.
Ah.
Went to the Grand Slam team store, and they had everything fully stocked.
That's why you tweeted out who's pulling up to the exhibition game tonight.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Ruben and my buddy Michael Beer and some other buddies, and it was a good time.
Good job.
It's a good-looking hat, man.
That is a good-looking hat.
Everybody, I got a big head, too, so it was hard to find this size.
Get us one of those.
Yeah.
Hats, Mike.
My son,
and a championship
I'm gonna ignore you right now. my son saw at, we went to Austin this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and my son saw one of the kids. It's really weird seeing 50,000 kids run a city, but it's what happens in big college.
And like, that's also where our government is for the state.
Yeah. And he saw a person wearing a Bregman jersey from last year with their gold number because they won the championship in 22. And my son was like, oh, that's disgusting.
Did he push the kid over?
No, he's, my kid's 15. That kid was, he wasn't a big kid, but he was somewhere between, I'm assuming, the ages of 18 and 23 assumption.
You didn't say, hey, if you go push him, I got your back.
No.
Okay.
I don't think we want that happening.
Probably smart. I mean, probably smart. Just saying.
But they do look cool. Like, it is super awesome that the Rangers have a championship jersey.
Dang right. Now.
In your face, Astros.
Indeed. You want to talk a little Mavs? I mean, we can always talk more Rangers.
We're in seventh place.
Well, but seventh place.
But a good seventh place.
Really good position right now. Like, this is a really good opportunity. You take down Sacramento a couple times.
Yeah.
And you put yourself in very good position for the rest of the season. But you the great thing about it, or the bad thing about it, is you still can't just rest on that. But they are.
For sure.
They look like a completely different basketball team right now.
I have a question.
Okay.
A Maverick question. Kyrie is playing, is he 21 straight games? I can't remember if we're at 20 or 21. We're right around the number 20. Yeah. We're at 20 or more than. Not saying he's struggling. He's not struggling. I'm wondering, because he never has done this since 2016. I believe this is the longest stretch of games he's played without sitting out because of injury or something else. Rest. I'm wondering if you play them the rest of the way, which you kind of need to if you want to get the 4, 5, or 6 seed, like, what will he be like come playoff time if he plays every game down the stretch?
You think he's going to be tired?
I don't know. Yeah. I remember Nash would a little bit run out of energy on us in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden he never ran out of energy with Phoenix, and that was kind of frustrating. But I'm just wondering.
But what if you get the benefit of that situation? What if this time Kyrie never runs out of energy with the Mavericks?
I hope so. I hope, like, maybe they have the magic formula that is keeping them healthy. One, don't put Dwight Powell on the court. That has helped out tremendously recently.
Facts. He's halfway through Ramadan right now, so I do wonder
that's gotta be tough.
On the other side of it, if, I don't know, I'm going to observe Avery and see if he has more energy on the other side of it than he does during this stretch that he's going through right now.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe that will help out when that comes to a close.
I think it's a really good question.
You still have Detroit and Charlotte on the schedule, too. Those are two of the worst teams in the NBA. You can win those games without him.
Okay. Is this the most athletic team that Luka's played with?
100%.
Gotta be.
He's never had a team close to this good.
Nobody's ever.
And I know you're saying athletic, but both. He's never had a team this athletic. Dwight Powell's had to play 30 minutes a night for his whole career.
And I don't think, I'm just thinking back, these are the two most athletic centers they've ever had, ever.
In the history of the Mavs?
With the ability
arguably,
around the
yes,
rim.
Yes, in the history of the Mavs, yes.
Yeah, with the ability around the rim that they have, their ability not only to block shots, but the touch that Lively has around the basket with both hands, what Gafford can do whenever he gets up in the air, this is easily the most athletic team that Luka, who might not be the greatest athlete, but is the smarter player on the court, gets to run with.
I don't know if this is the perfect team, but Nico has done a tremendous job in a short amount of time after seeing the debacle that happened last year.
He's turned it into chicken salad, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so he has done a tremendous job.
Chicken soup? Nope. Chicken spoop?
Yep, that.
There you go.
I hope that this is the team and they don't really have to make any more adjustments. I'm sure there's going to be a tweak in the offseason, but the Mavs look like they're really close to having the right personnel around Luka. The key is now new ownership keeping these guys and not going cheap and going, I'm not giving a couple years from now, I'm not giving Gafford $25 yep. million dollars a year, and then you lose what you know. If you do that again, if you Mark Cuban this, and I'm going to be honest here, thank God he's not running anything anymore.
Agreed.
Because he ran Tyson Chandler out of here. Like, you had the perfect center around Dirk for the next 4 years, probably. There was probably about a 4-year window of Tyson Chandler's career till it probably came to a close. And he's like, nope, don't even want to do it. I'm going to go for a bigger fish, knowing you are probably never going to get Dwight Howard to come here, which obviously didn't happen. True. So I'm hoping that Nico and the new ownership goes, we're not taking risk like that. We have something that works out what looks like perfectly around our superstar. Don't screw it up.
I am kind of curious, Exum.
Yes.
Is he a piece that you're like, I'd like to keep him around longer? Is he floats through the Mavs organization and we never...
I'm going to throw this out there. I used to think this way, although Derrick Jones Jr. has changed my mind left and right. I guess I'm kind of the opinion of he's been a heck of a fit here because he costs nothing.
Yeah.
And as soon as he costs something.
Like Tim?
I feel like I'm going to be like, you did great. Thank you. You earned your money. Go enjoy it.
I heard Jason Kidd recently compare him to Sean Livingston when Golden State had their championship team. And I thought that was a really good comparison. And he said, look, he was a high draft pick, supposed to be a franchise changer, got hurt, struggled with the NBA. Once he figured out the NBA and figured out his confidence, figured out his injury, it was like he was a very great contributor to a championship team. And he compared Exum to kind of that Sean Livingston for the Mavs. And the great thing is, he does have next year at $3.1 million. So you don't even have to worry about Exum being on the team next year. You mentioned Derrick Jones Jr. I know I'm not trying to go to the future, but he is a free agent at the end of this year. Okay. So there's a chance what Derrick Jones Jr. has done here, I'm not so sure I want to give him $10 to $12 million. I really like Derrick Jones Jr. Not. I'm not trying to...
Duke can jump through the gym, man. That's crazy.
But I do look at the future of the team and go, wait a second, you know, is Derek Jones Jr. a $10 to $15 million player? Because you know teams that are way under the cap might look at him and go, add him for $11 million. He can do those things, and maybe he's just a perfect fit with Luka and Kyrie.
And that's the trap I fall into, because it is still a small sample size, but the starting lineup of Luka, Kyrie, Gafford, Jones, and Washington is 8-0. Eight games. I get it. That's not like, hey, you got to wreck everything. But that's what I wonder is, in the quest for, well, I guess what we got was mediocrity, but in the quest for another superstar in the last 10 years, did you lose sight of, you've got the guy, put the right things around him, and yeah. PJ Washington feels like a guy that maybe you wouldn't think in theory would be worth that money, but when you see him play alongside Luka, you're like, no, this works. This works exactly how you want a basketball team to work.
The athleticism, A, that comes along with him, for one. He can drive to the basket and stuff, too. But, again, I go back to, you know you're getting points with Kyrie and Luka. But you know those are happening. Any other points that come from anybody else, it's off of Kyrie and Luka most of the time. But the defensive side of it is where I've liked PJ the most, in that he can cover what feels like four different positions. If not, he can spell for a fifth position, but he can cover a lot of different spots. And that's something that you need, especially whenever you have what I would consider minus defenders in Luka and Kyrie.
I do think Luka, I will argue, I'm not saying he's there. I think he is
contributing,
getting to neutral defender.
Okay. But he's contributing, like Jason Kidd always asks. Once he contributes,
yes,
we're a better team.
Richard Jefferson said this, and I was like, maybe we should take this into consideration. He said defensive rebounding is part of defense.
Yep.
And Luka's the best guard rebounder in the NBA. It's really not even close. And so I'm not saying he's a good defender, but when he's engaged, he's solid. He's an average NBA player. And then if you take his defensive rebounding into consideration, you'd have to say, wait a second.
That's why I say neutral. I do take that into consideration. Yeah. All right, a couple things. Since you mentioned Kyrie, I forgot to ask for the audio, so I'll just read you the quote. He says things that just feel, I don't know, kind of how the way real people think or talk. And we talked about how the Mavericks have been ebb and flow and ebb and flow. Right now, they've won four in a row. They've won eight of their last nine. Before that, they lost 5 of 6. Before that, they won 7 straight. And Kyrie said this after the struggle point. That's the beautiful aspect of it. Just through our struggles, we've been able to come out on the other side and see some glimmer of light turn into wins. We're sitting here, 2 weeks ago? We lost 4 of our last 5. We were just going back and forth within the locker room. How can we get on the same page, get aligned, and build that consistency? And you've started to see more consistency. Corey brought it up earlier in the show. Keeping opponents, for the most part, at or below 110 points, that will stack you up a lot of wins in the current NBA. And I just appreciated that insight, because Kyrie didn't say something like, hey, you know, you get the good and you get the bad. He goes, no, we're sitting here 2 weeks ago like, we got to figure this out.
Forgive me also if, and Mike, you and I talked about this last week, and some people agreed, some people disagreed, but I didn't see the rest of the game last night, Kevin. I saw just up to the third quarter. So just over the third quarter. There was another moment last night where Luka, there was a foul, it was pretty clear, and he didn't bitch at the referee about it.
That's a big
deal. And Mike and I both noticed last week in one of the games, Kevin, when you were out, that there was a significant moment in the game where he didn't bitch at the referee, and they came back. Tim Hardaway scored 3, and then Luka scored a 3. I didn't notice it last night through the first half, but I did see that moment. And I'm just wondering how much of an effect Kyrie is having on Luka, because they are spending more time together.
Yeah.
Mark Stein has a pretty good piece that has some good information about the time they're spending together. And I wonder how much that's paying off, because maybe Kyrie's looking at it going, look, I know how to lead a team now that I've kind of grown to this point. I've been in the championships. Here's how I would do it. Luka, here's some things you can work on.
And specifically, sometimes I do wonder if he goes, I also know how you could not win a championship by having a certain attitude.
Yes.
I'm sure Kyrie would tell you at that time. Hell, when we talked with Jamal Mashburn, he said, a lot of these players, if not all of the players, it takes like 7 years to go, oh, that's what I should have been doing all along. You can make that argument across all paths of life and career, right? Mm-hmm. How many jobs have you had in the past where you've gotten into it and been like, ah, so that's probably what I should have been doing all along. So I do not want to undervalue whatsoever that input from Kyrie and the fact that he likes being here or seems to really like being here and seems to like the fan base. That's what you need to keep the machine going.
It seems like, and here's the hope, that he's grown up a lot. Like Kyrie, in a way, at one point was like, hey, I can see what a Nimrod I was, and I apologize to LeBron because I'm dealing with the Nimrod in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And it's like, oh, Kyrie, you were so close and then so far away because you have just alienated the two superstar young guys on your team when he was with Boston by doing that by now. Saying, hey, all I'm telling you guys is I was like you once, and I was a horrible teammate to the guy trying to win a championship because I just wanted mine, and all I wanted was my points, my max out contract, and I'm telling you, you guys are screwing up by not just following me, you young kids. And it was like, oh, Kyrie, so close but so far away. And that was a while ago. He was with Boston a while ago. So to your point, hopefully he's learned in this that if there's something that he says, oh, I can see this young guy, whether it's Luka or Derek Lively, making that same mistake I made being part of the NBA life, that he can help out by not accidentally. I do think it was by accident. I don't think it was intentional when Kyrie crushed the spirits of Tatum and Brown by saying, you guys are really stupid. I was stupid like you.
What do you think the Mavs come out on the other side of this road trip record-wise? So they got 5 games. They won last night against Utah to start it off, so they're 1-0. After the 5, how does it play out? I realize
3-2.
But I realize a lovely scenario would be 4-1, but I wanted to know your real thought about
5-0.
I'm hoping they win one at Sacramento. I think tonight will be the toughest one because they did have to play hard last night. That was not an easy win.
Yes.
So now you travel from Utah. Where
that game wasn't decided until the fourth quarter.
Right. Lack of oxygen. A lot of people say at times you can start off slow in Utah because you're not used to the elevation. Same thing in Denver. And it maybe take you till halftime for you to get a little bit more used to it. And they took off in the second half. This is going to be a really tough game with probably, you know, you're at 80%, 85% with your legs and everything.
Kings played the Sixers last night.
What was the score?
108-96.
Okay, so I'm assuming close enough that was a contested
similar game. Similar kind of game to the Mavs.
Was Sacramento in Sacramento?
In Sacramento, yeah.
Okay, so they're not traveling. Tonight will be the toughest one of the two. In Sacramento. Brief, Friday, you get a couple days off. You're staying in the same city. I mean, Sacramento, they probably have a cheesecake factory there.
I've never been to Sacramento, so when you talk about it, it's always weird. I've never been there, so I have no clue what it's like.
I'm trying to compare it to a town. I'm not taking a shot here.
Like Rockwall?
If you just take Frisco.
Okay.
But Frisco's connected kind of to Dallas. But if you just had Frisco as the main city in like a 100-mile radius, that would be Sacramento?
Okay, so it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice, you know. I thought it was somewhat clean. Now this is 20 years ago, approximately, but it's a triple A town. It's not a major league town. There's a reason there's only the Sacramento Kings there. Teams are not clamoring to throw their product into Sacramento.
So you said 5-0. How realistic do you think that is? I think it's
tough.
I think a split versus the Kings, I would be fine with.
And yeah, 4-1, I'll take. I accept that, Mavericks.
I would be pumped about 4-1 because, like I said, Houston has been on a freaking rampage of beating people.
What kind of – who's the schedule makers? I'm not great with maps. I'm not exactly sure where things are. In the United States, I am. But I'm not sure where anything is overseas.
Dude, we are so close to the end of the season.
You're in Sacramento. You know what's really close to Sacramento?
Golden State.
San Francisco. But instead they throw you back to Houston, almost home. And then like, is this the makeup game? Is this the
makeup? That is the gold. I think.
Is this the makeup game?
I think the Hawks game is.
No, it is the Golden State game.
When their assistant coach passed away.
Yeah.
So this might be.
Because it was supposed to be a 4-game.
Yeah, because this trip makes no sense.
I do believe that is correct because it was supposed to be a 4-game road trip. And then.
And they're not going to make you play 3 games in a row. They're not going to go on. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be
April
like,
5th,
hey,
April 6th,
play three
April 7th,
games in three nights. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, and so you go out to Utah, hit up Sacramento, come back towards Houston, and go home. But because of the unfortunate passing of one of their assistant coaches, you had to reschedule this game, and that's why you end up West Coast, further West Coast, almost home, back to the West Coast, then home.
So I'm not – I shouldn't say this. I'm going to jinx it.
Don't jinx it, Mike.
I think at most they lose five more games this year. And I don't think they're going to lose five more games. I think they're going to lose four more games. And that puts you at 49 and 33.
Which I think that is a very
You think that's the five
record.
Seed? You yes. think that's the six?
Ooh, it'd definitely get you the six.
Yeah.
But because New Orleans has been playing
way to go,
really
New Orleans.
Well.
What happened?
I have four losses.
Is Zion playing basketball? I haven't been following
yes.
New Orleans.
Yes, he is.
When's he going to blow out again?
His shoe?
Yeah, his shoe.
Yeah, that's what he was asking.
I think
yeah.
you got a shot since the Clippers are falling.
Do you call it that when Noah has a big axe? Like when Noah...
A blowout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when it goes up their back?
Outside the diaper. Yeah, sorry.
Oh.
And you just go, here's what you do. You just walk him to the diaper, to the
Does he smile
bathtub?
About it, or is he upset? Is he like, ha?
No, he gets pissed a lot of times when it's time to change, because he's like, we're playing, we're having fun.
Oh, and I didn't mean to poop.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't want to stop having fun.
I get it. I get him same way.
Yeah. Smell then, yourself, kid.
I don't think babies have that. Like,
oh, they smell. That's why they spit out
food. No, I know
they
can smell, but I'm saying I don't think they feel that way about themselves when they're like, I'm embarrassed.
They smell and they look at you and they're like, that was you, right? Is that what you're thinking?
No, that's what the dog is for. We're the KSC.
But when they turn like three or four, if they're not potty trained yet, it's weird how they do go by themselves to go do this.
Yes, because they know.
So you know.
Yeah, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, why are you standing behind the couch over there looking at
it? We got a whole potty for you to do this.
And the toilet's not going to eat you.
We'll put it in a private area and go do your private thing.
Yeah.
We're the KSC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now. I feel like it's always an awkward transition because I think we're going to get back on the straight line here, but it's time for Mike Likes It, so who the hell knows?
All right, so I'll tell you what I'm liking, but it's tough to know. And Kevin, you're going to be with me on this.
Okay.
Friday is a off day. I don't know if all schools... Are your kids going to school in Plano on Friday?
Yes,
but I think they're off Monday, Tuesday after that.
Okay, so because obviously if you go to, let's say, a Christian private school, Friday's a holiday because it's Good Friday.
I thought Friday and Monday for most people was.
And there are some schools that I know that are private schools that have off Thursday or a half day. I think it's a half day on Thursday for Bishop Lynch, and then they're off on Friday. So I want to take my kid. He really wants to go. He thought it would be unbelievable if A&M would have made it. But I've never seen Duke play in person. I'm not against Duke, and I'm not for them, if that makes sense. But I do appreciate when the Yankees come into town, or I hate saying this, the Lakers. You get it. Like, you understand. I don't like this that when the Cowboys go to another place, it's a big deal, whether they're good or not.
Yep.
It's a big deal. And I think Duke is that in college basketball. When Duke shows up to your town, I think it's, I don't care if they're good or not, I have to go. Beating Duke is bigger than beating most other schools.
I would be inclined to agree with that.
And so Duke is obviously going to be here at the AAC Friday night. Most likely that's not going to be till a 9 o'clock tip against Houston.
I got some potential football news for you, Mike.
It's Dak news, too.
Oh, Jerry's stopping the show.
It's Dak news right for you.
300 mil? 400 mil?
0 mil. Ian Rappaport is rapporting that there has been no progress made on a contract, and they anticipate him playing out this season.
But they have a mutual understanding of where they stand on it, but they're not moving anywhere, right?
Look, the mutual understanding from Dak's part should be play good, don't play good, we'll pay you afterwards.
Somebody's going to...
We have to pretend
he's
like
getting paid no matter what. Somebody's going to pay
him. He's getting paid for sure. Whether it's here or elsewhere, he'll get a lot of money.
But the idea kind of feels like Jerry's saying, go win a Super Bowl and I'll give you every nickel you need.
I'll believe it when we get to game one.
I hear you.
That he's not getting an extension at around $55+ million a year. I just think that's going to happen, but...
I'm curious how many people out there, how many Tolos out there and Tolos and Yolos are like, hey, I'd rather him play under this contract versus I'd rather him not.
There's a little bit that should worry you, Cowboy fans, that you don't usually play with your quarterback like this. If you don't believe he's the guy, you don't let him just go to free agency because you can't franchise tag him. I'm 90% sure about that.
He can ruin a season for you too, right?
So why not? It might be too late in the game.
We go out there. And I think it is too late in the game.
If you felt this way after the Green Bay game, and I get it, there's vacations the Joneses have to go on and things they have to deal with, you should have put him on the market. I know he has a no-trade clause, but if this is the way you feel and you don't control the situation at the end of the year because he is a complete and total free agent, you should have traded him in February.
Agreed. And what's going to happen if they don't make a deal, depending on how the season goes, if they don't make a deal, you're going to get the spin of, hey, well, we couldn't trade him because we're in the midst of it. We tried our best to give him a deal that works. And my counter argument would be, you've had the opportunity to re-up him both in before this last deal was up and now, and you haven't made it happen. And I'm sure he looked at that and been like, you don't believe in me.
Yeah. It's interesting if this does play out the way Ian, there's still so much time for the Cowboys to give him a 3-year extension. It probably won't be 5 or 6. His agent likes working on 3 and 4 year deals.
Sure, which I understand.
It hurts the Cowboys but helps his client. And he's not here. The agent is not here to help the Cowboys. He only cares about Dak's money / his money. And I'm not faulting an agent for doing that. I think Scott Boras is tremendous at his job in baseball. I'm sorry I don't know Dak's agent's name off the top of my head, but he seems to be terrific at manipulating the Jones family into the most money possible.
Agreed. And I'm sure what came to the table, actually, let me try that again. I think what came to the table was Dak and company saying, we want the highest.
Want to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
We want to be the highest paid quarterback. And the Cowboys said, we can make that happen, but you got to be down for 5 or 6. And they're like, no, we're looking at 3 or 4. And then the Cowboys said, okay, at that number, this is what we can do. And then Dak's team comes back with, well, that number doesn't work for us. And they're just stuck in this back and forth. And I don't know if Dak's team argues this, but I would wonder at some point, if quarterback contracts continue to go up and you supposedly believe in me, why not give me all of the money on a shorter term deal? But the Cowboys clearly don't want to do that because they're like, hey, let's meet in the middle. I would love to know more specifics about this negotiation, but if Rappaport is right, for now, they're going to roll out with him, let this be the season, and all let it play out how it may. But to your point, Mike, I am still kind of in a, believe that when it actually happens.
I only have a few minutes here, and I don't really like the Cowboys, and I don't think they deserve to get talked about by the way they run their organization. So Mike likes it is done with the Cowboys.
Mad March Madness.
So how much should you pay to be in the lower level of a doubleheader? So the doubleheader is Marquette, NC State around 6:30. Is that the first tip? And then the next tip will be around 9:00. So it'll go till midnight local time. That Duke-Houston game will finish around midnight, I'm assuming.
I can see that.
I want to take my son. He wants to go. My other son would like to go, but he has a baseball game that night and can't go. But I'm just looking at the tickets. Unfortunately, there were some tickets for approximately before taxes and fees at $300 in the lower level. They were in the upper part of the lower level behind a basket. And I'm wondering here, as you can get tickets right now for a little over $400 in the upper parts of the lower level behind baskets. That's before taxes and fees. It adds another about $75 a ticket for your taxes and fees on Ticketmaster. And so I'm just looking at this. I've gone to other websites and they're more expensive.
Yes.
So I'm going to be honest. I haven't gone to the game time Game Day app.
Game Time app.
Game Time app. So I need to possibly, I need to download that, to be honest. I need to download that and just see.
The closer you get to the game, the cheaper the deal.
And that's what I'm wondering. Should I wait till Friday at 3 o'clock? So here's my question. Should I wait till Friday at 3 o'clock? Because I'm just going to go to these tickets that look like really nice tickets. They are $700 plus fees behind the basket, about like 7 or 8 rows
up. Is that
up.
Per ticket?
Per ticket.
Oh, tonight. Were you so about to go buy tickets?
Yeah.
Kevin was like, I'm logging
so
in
that's
right
section,
now.
Just to give you, section 114, row GG, seats 2 and 3, $700 a piece. Those, honestly, right now, I'm not saying I'm going to buy them. I'm not. Those are pretty... I go to row LL and they're 515 plus another $100 easy on fees on each ticket. Not total on each ticket. So you're looking at about $650 a ticket. So I'm paying $1,300 for a doubleheader basketball game that I don't have a rooting interest in.
And here's the struggle that I have with that exact same conundrum.
Except you have a rooting interest.
I definitely have a rooting interest, but also I'm supposed to go to a cooking class with my wife and a couple of her friends on Friday. She's fine. She said she's fine if I go to the game. Reiterated all that yesterday. But I have to make a decision sooner so she can replace me in the cooking class.
Oh, I thought you were going to say anything.
Who knows? Maybe.
I did this last time in 2019. I just bought tickets outside of the stadium.
No. Okay. Like, yes.
I probably overpaid, but I wanted to get inside the stadium early. Yeah. I didn't want to wait till, because I know how you do this. If you wait 5 minutes into the first game, the scalpers get a little bit panicked that they're going to get $0. And I'm not like saying they're going to give you a great deal, but that number where they want $1,000 a ticket can quickly go down to $500 when they're about to just eat the ticket for nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm struggling with, I want to go. I think it'll be a memorable moment with my son. I've never been to a Sweet 16 game before, and it's Duke.
Yeah.
Houston's a number one seed that's correct. Somewhat local.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, and Marquette's a solid team. NC State's kind of the Cinderella story of the tournament.
And this is where I struggle, because I have seen Duke play in the Sweet 16. I have been to the Final Four. I've experienced this before, and I sent Brandon a text, and he was like, yeah, I'll go. I was hoping for I was hoping for a little bit more enthusiasm in a text.
Yeah.
Which could have been not the way to go.
I asked my wife a question today and she gave me sure. And I was like, that didn't sound too enthusiastic. It sounds like she'll do it, but it didn't sound like a...
What was the question?
No, it's private. That's Mike likes it.
Where that's how Broadus always responds to me. He'll say sure, and I'm like...
And you're worried he doesn't like you, right?
It doesn't sound enthusiastic. Like, yeah, I'll do like, it. Like, but don't want to, but sure.
But that's just Broadus. That's just his way of talking.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I was going to bring this up earlier. Just wanted to throw it out there. Did you see what the NFL is doing for their Christmas schedule?
The landing zone.
Not the kickoff thing.
It's for Santa, so he can
land.
I thought
we went with Strip.
Okay.
They're going to have two games on Wednesday, which is Christmas. Christmas is on a Wednesday. So they're going to have a Christmas doubleheader. The teams that play on that Wednesday are also going to play on Saturday.
My son asked this year if Christmas was on a Sunday because we go to church. It's like, no.
No, it's not.
I'll tell you what, man. We're learning some valuable lessons here at 15 years old, aren't we?
So And the NFL says Saturday to Wednesday. Same as Sunday to Thursday. So you're good. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Well, how do you get everybody else to pay for your wedding? Plus.
Oh.
Honeymoon, I'm sorry. Plus. Oh. Your favorite baseball movie character of all time. Next on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.